I think all of us have to reflect on any given day why we do some of the things that we do. Sometimes we have various motives. Sometimes we come to break bread because, well, it's what we do once a month. I'm going to break bread. But what if you had the option to break bread every day? By the way, you have that option. In fact, the disciples, as they actually remembered the Lord's words, probably did break bread every day. As they met with believers around every meal, they would take the time to reflect upon the things, not only what Jesus had said, but would recount the matter of the cross and what took place, and then spoke of the results and what was so significant about that, having the knowledge of sins forgiven and peace with God. In 1 John, the writer is the beloved disciple John, the brother of James, who was martyred. John is referred to as the one whom Jesus loved in the Gospel of John. And he writes the epistle to 1 John with every thought considering the love of God for him. So in 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, we have this statement, "See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you." And so the point being is that as we break bread, the things that you have heard, the things that you have meditated upon, are to have an abiding effect in your life, in your conscience, in your words, and in your actions. So he goes on to say, "If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life." Now, eternal life at this point in the epistle of 1 John is not about going to heaven when you die, but is speaking of a quality of life that is something that you experience in the moment, the abiding fellowship with God, to know that you're loved by God, to understand that you've been granted a gift by virtue of his grace. "So I'm writing these things to you," verse 26, "about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you have received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it is taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming." Experiencing eternal life ensures that we won't suffer shame. Experiencing eternal life is the abiding fellowship that God wants each of us to experience. "So if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him." And then we have a reference to the Father in verse 1 of chapter 3. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And I can imagine John at the moment maybe putting down the pen or whatever it is that he was writing with and considering the significance of that thought. And then he says, "And that is what we are." And so I hope you realize who you are, and that today as we break bread, it's not out of an obligation to do it once a month. We can do it freely every day. We do so because we abide in the Lord and we appreciate that he's called us his children. And so each of us here is precious in his sight. Lord, we commit our time to you and just pray that as different ones participate and share from your word, that we would listen and be encouraged, be refreshed in spirit. Undertake, Lord, for those who would normally be with us this morning. Undertake for burdens and cares that they might have. And then for those who are celebrating possibly with their children and just enjoying this Father's Day, pray that you'll allow them to experience your joy in the midst of celebration. Just commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite the men to come up and just share some thoughts that you might have.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you know exactly what we face daily, and you've been through it and much more than us. And thank you that we can have a relationship with you and also fellowship with you in this way. Just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn to Psalm 145. Start reading in verse 1. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty works and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we can come together to fellowship, to just remember that you're coming back. And Father, it's a time to worship you, because I know in my life often I get distracted, and just to stop and think of your mighty works, how you keep your covenants, how you love us. Father, it's humbling, and just thank you for what you have done. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Like to read from Psalm 147, verse 11. It says, the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. And let's jump over to 1 Peter chapter 3, starting verse 8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult or On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to do this you were called. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil, and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you, against your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are faithful, even when we are not. I also thank you that you delight in when we worship you, when we fear you. I'm in awe of just who you are and how you provide, how you've created all things, and that you've made man in your image. You've given us a desire to create. You've given us a desire to worship, and we want to worship you, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. And Lord, if we should suffer for doing good, your word tells us that we're blessed. Thank you for that. Thank you that you sent your Son and that he suffered for our sins, that he was the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice. Nothing that we could do could amount to paying the penalty. So thank you that you provided, that you atoned for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A few thoughts with you from 1 Peter chapter 1. I've appreciated what was shared here already this morning, and talked a little bit about John and talked a little bit about Peter. Peter and John were recognized as, along with James, probably part of an inner circle that walked pretty closely with the Lord. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were at the tomb together, Peter and John. John had outrun Peter. Peter cut off Malchus's ear. Peter said to the Lord, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." Peter said, "I'll never deny you. I'll die with you." Peter wept. Don't know exactly when Peter was writing these words, but I think and believe that Peter probably wrote all of this to encourage people who were experiencing difficult times. And in this life, the Lord Jesus said this, in this life you will have trouble. So trouble is part of, and suffering is part of, the wrinkle of life. All of us here are broken people, and the reason why we're here to break bread is not because we've arrived. We're breaking bread because we're broken. We're breaking bread because we recognize that we're sinners and we're in need of forgiveness. And we're here because we recognize that the Lord Jesus is the answer. And so we worship. And we try to figure out, how do we do that? How do we do that with sincerity of heart on any given day, at any given moment, with everything that's going on and all the turmoil that takes place in your homes, your relationships, your lives, and mine too? 1 Peter chapter 1, Paul is writing, first of all, to Jewish believers. And they've come to understand the grace of God. But he says in verse 13, in light of what he's already said in the first 12 verses, you know, concerning salvation, we read back in verse 10. In other words, everything that Jesus has done, he has done so for a purpose. So that your life and my life would be completely transformed. So that you and I would not be shaped any longer to the pattern of this world. Now, I realize that that is truly the purpose. But I also know that where I came from, the family I came out of, and family Renee came out of, and not unlike yours, not unlike choices I've made, choices you've made, that we have all made imperfect choices. And in fact, we probably still do, unwittingly. But Peter has spent probably a lot of time speaking to these believers when they came to Jerusalem. Where are these people located? Well, back at chapter 1, verse 2, it says they're from Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. And you begin to realize and you recognize that these are also some of the believers that he might have met at Pentecost many years earlier in Acts chapter 2. And he's tracked with them through life. Some of them, of course, led their children to Christ, and some of them were probably baptized by him. And he probably spent years teaching them how to live. And so now he's not just simply reminding the few people that he met back there at Pentecost, but he's reminding their families and generations that he has spent time influencing. And so he says in verse 13, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. What does that mean? That means that you personally must make the difficult choices in life for yourself, for the sake of God's love for you, as demonstrated in Calvary. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And so guess what's going to happen when Jesus Christ is revealed? All of us are going to stand before him, and all of us are going to see that God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, and that he's going to lavish grace upon us, and he'll recognize the lives that were committed to him, where you've come to worship him in breaking bread. You've sought to live your life throughout the week honoring him, although the conversations were always mixed with gray matter. You know what I'm talking about. Those slippery conversations that can go this way or that way. And you notice how the scriptures they're sharper than any double-edged sword. They deal with every issue of the heart. And as each of the brethren who came up and shared from the word made that very, very clear. Notice how he looks at verse 14. He says, as obedient children, meaning, of course, we have a father. You know, growing up, even though my dad didn't live, maybe as a believer as I would hope to, he would have. He didn't actually have anybody to disciple him. He didn't want anybody to disciple him. He didn't want to be in church. He didn't want to read the Word. He didn't want anybody to tell him what to do. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, just go like this. Look in the mirror. That's me. Yeah. But when I was away from my dad and I was giving thought to him this morning, I can certainly remember how my dad wanted me to behave when he wasn't around. All of us should give thought to that. How are we to behave when our fathers aren't around? In this case, as our Heavenly Father isn't there to tell us and correct us. In fact, everything in Scripture is about the issue of conscience. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Oh Lord, help me to be holy in all that I do. In my relationship with my wife and my children and you as my brothers and sisters in Christ, with the unbelieving and the people who maybe want to hurt me and so on, can still be holy. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And since you call on a Father, that's right, you and I call on God as our Father. There isn't a day where my prayer isn't, Father. Father. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Oh, to have a Father who loves us, understands us. And then we read in that portion of Scriptures in Hebrews 12:5 where it talks about a father disciplines a son that he loves. And then I think of the times that my own dad disciplined me. I deserved those disciplines at times. There were times when I thought I didn't, but I probably did. Yeah. This Father of ours is going to judge our works impartially. And so, in so doing, you and I need to consider this. Live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. In other words, don't get too comfortable. Yeah, I've graduated, right, Kevin? Graduated. Got me a new job, making me some new greenbacks. Pouring gas into my nice, great big Mustang and broom, broom, that I heard the other night. Don't get too comfortable, buddy. You burn the tires off that thing in about 30 seconds. Then what are you going to do? You're riding around on rims. No, we tend to look at things, we hang on to things, and we think, oh, I'm going to get comfortable here with this. This is the way life is. This is a good life. I got me a Dodge. I was telling Renee the other day, and people who drive Dodges have to have a pretty special personality, right, Jake? Yeah. Live your lives as strangers. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. It wasn't silver or gold for which you were purchased. Those are empty things. They have no value. And yet you know that you and I need some of this silver and gold to sustain ourselves. We need it to buy bread. We need it to live. You know, Mom and Dad are spending a lot of money on you. You know that? You say thank you to Dad today? Yeah, that's good. I thought you did. Talk to him first thing this morning? Not quite yet? Not quite, eh? But you and I have been bought with the precious blood of Christ, and this is where the Father is speaking. The Father wants us to understand his great love. Yes, for God so loved the world. When is it that you and I have poured out blood, as it were? always sometimes say, well, I think I've done that for my kids. I've paid for their education. I've walked with them. I've helped them. Yeah, to a degree, yes, but all of us here, of course, as believers, we understand that our lives cannot be a substitute in some way, make everything work out perfectly for the lives of our children. In other words, we realize that our children will have to make choices for which they'll have to deal with the consequences. And so in this passage, the whole point is that regardless, and because God is our Father and having sent His Son, all of us have been, as it were, acquitted of guilt, which would cause us to be eternally separated from God. And that being the case, Peter says, now that you know that, live a holy life. Through Him you believe, verse 21, you believe in God. Through Jesus you believe in God, the one who was chosen before the creation of the world but was revealed in these last times for your sake. And He glorified Him. And so your faith and hope are in God. And having believed, now you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. Now you got to think about that for a moment. And this is where I look into the mirror of God's word and I ask the question, am I obeying the spirit and intent of God's word as I come to break bread? He says that obeying the truth is so that you can have a sincere love for your brothers. Loving you. Do you love one another? You look around the room and you say, well, there's some people here that I really love a lot more than some of you that aren't here. So, no, I don't think I thought quite like that, but I want to tell you right now that my family comes to my place, and just as maybe your family comes to your place, we who are fathers probably normally embrace our kids and our grandkids, and we let them know that they're loved. Normally after a phone call or a text and so on, and my kids and my grandkids will often say, love you. And when they're in need and need help and so on, we're there and we do what we can because we love. That's exactly what God does, and that's what exactly He wants us to do for one another. Now, I want you to think about that. Is we're going to break bread because we're family. And we're going to pass the loaf from one to another. And I'm going to say, do I love Peter? He and I are from the same body, the body of Christ. Do I love Peter? Do I love those who aren't here today? And I think of them. I look around the room. I do a mental note and I say, oh, so-and-so's not here. I wonder where they're at today. Maybe they need some prayer. Sometimes I follow it up with a phone call, sometimes an email or a text. Missed you. Thinking of you. Praying for you. Love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again. Now, John is the one that wrote John 3 passage with Nicodemus, where Jesus says you must be born again. But Peter and John both have a clear understanding about the love of God the Father. Love one another deeply from the heart. For why? Because you've been born again. And because you've been born again, you have the capacity to love. Because you've been born again, you have the capacity to have a fellowship with one another that's way beyond anything you've ever experienced. I'm going to call up those of you who are coming to help serve here this morning. Come on up. The rest of us, if we'll just turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Lord, we come to you this morning. Thank you for the bread that's been prepared here that represents your body that was broken for us. Pray that you be honored by our worship as we do this in remembrance of what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we just thank you for this cup that represents the blood that you shed. You willingly leave your life down for us, and for that we'll ever be grateful. Thanks. Amen.
Only bread, only grape juice. And what we do here, we do so imperfectly, in recognition of the one who did all things perfectly, so we might have life. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, the necessity of the Lord's death, the value of the Lord's death, and hopefully our gratitude for the Lord's death until he comes. Let's stand together and close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for each one here today. Thank you that we have families with whom we can worship. Thank you that we're part of the greater family, the one that was bought with the precious blood, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can greet one another as brother and sister. Thank you that we can pray for one another and empathize and sympathize with each other. Thank you that we can walk together by faith. And thank you that we can pray and worship you. So go with us now as we go to our respective homes and we celebrate with our fathers and give thought to their part in our lives. Those of us who are fathers, help us to remember the awesome privilege and responsibilities that we have. Help us to walk in the light of your truth and to model it, to teach it, to honor you in everything that we do. Just commit the rest of our day to you and thank you for each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other.